Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour already of the Outdoor Show. No better place to go than Corpus Christi right now. Whether you want to talk to a good fishing guide or do some good fishing, let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Hey, man. Tell me
what's
some
up,
lies.
Buddy? Well, you know, I was thinking about maybe getting some pogey boats or a rocking company. Cause this
there you go. Let's pogey and rock out,
thing,
baby.
Buddy. Rock out and pogey out, but it's funny because James talking about all them rocks are doing the same thing here. They're putting rocks everywhere. I don't
are they?
It. Yeah, oh my God, they rocked the entire island about 2 miles south of Marker 37. Entire. They spent 2 months putting rocks all around
really?
This island, and then nobody knows why. So we don't know why, but there's be careful. There's one island out there that's got $2 billion worth of rocks around it for no reason at all. We don't know, but. Anyway, it's all good, Mickey. That's kind of back on a roll again. I just kind of was stagnant without my boat, so now I've got the boat and I'm back in the water, and life is good. So,
man,
you know, it's kind of like a cowboy
fresh
without a
gel
horse.
Code, paint. I mean,
oh
hey,
my
man,
God, it's awesome.
You're styling.
Oh, it is so fast now. And looks so good, but man, I had a good week. I just pretty much done it all. I fished and dove hunt and beach fish, surf. So it was just
man.
A good week. Had a good week, man. The weather's been incredible. We
you're
just need
pretty
to just
good for
like
an old timer, man.
I'm taking lots of naps between. You know, I'm not talking about the naps I take between all this activity, but as long as I get my nap, I'm all right. But this is so cool. So I had Roland. Yeah, I had Roland this week. You know, Roland
all
and
tamer?
Pete and all that. Yeah, God Almighty, it's always the most fun trip ever. You know,
I
look forward
those,
to seeing
I love
name
those guys.
Man.
They're so cool.
It is so cool because. Typical Roland, he stops at Prochet's and get about 5 pounds of brisket and ribs turkey. And then his girlfriend made this wild salmon salad that, of course, they went to Alaska and they took wild salmon and made like a dip out of it. And
salmon dip. That's big time.
And my trick when they come fishing, I try to keep them really busy. That way there'll be lots of leftovers to take home. And that's what I did.
There you go.
And every time they reach out, I said, hey, man, cast over there. Cast over there. Leave my food alone. But Roland always leaves everything in the ice chest. And when I get home, Carol's waiting in the driveway to see what Roland's got. And they're going in the car, man, even the boat. It was good stuff. But anyway,
man,
fishing was okay.
I had some chiropractors that used to fish with me years ago. They were all from the Dallas area, man. Cool guys. And, they would show up, and they'd have, like, 4 beer flats with Jello shots made up, already pre-made up. They'd always tell me ahead of time, bring your big cooler. They'd stack this thing up. Hey, I don't know how many pounds of king crab legs already prepared.
What?
I mean, hey, it was on. I mean, it was it was incredible.
You probably told them the fishing was good even if it wasn't.
Well, I'm telling you, come on, man. Hey, come on. We don't catch any fish. We're going to eat good. But, yeah, that was a wild bunch. They were a lot of fun. Had some good times.
Yeah, I just...
So before I rudely interrupted you with that, what were you going to tell me?
Oh, no, it's all good. Roland and I had such a good time on Monday. You know, the fishing's not great, but it's okay, you know.
And, yeah.
That morning, we had a minor early and a major around 11 to 1 o'clock on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so we've had this incredible high water and just tons and tons of grass. And so I said, man, I'm going to pull in this area where it's kind of got the wind's just right. There ought to be not a lot of grass in there. There was not a lot of grass, but there wasn't a lot of fish. It's what I pull in there. And I think one of my guys caught like a 24-incher right off the bat, you know, on top water. Then it just kind of got stagnant. And so I said, well, man, with all this high water, let's go down in the middle of the bay and get on top of these deep rocks and see if there's some current on top of them and see if those fish are up on top of these rocks. And they weren't. There wasn't nothing on the machine, side scan, nothing. It was just like the dead zone. I couldn't believe it. Now I'm within about 45 minutes or 30 minutes getting close to that major. I said, man, I got to get on some fish. So I ran farther south, and that was a good move because I found them. They're up on top of these spoil islands, and which is normally, you know, 6 inches is now a foot and a half. And you can just see the bait and activity up on top of these islands. And so we were able to stay out deep and throw up on top of the islands. And it wasn't a lot of really big fish, but a lot of them were 19 to 24 inches and quite a few of them.
Those are good and they were. Those
yes,
are pigs
yeah.
for here.
Yes, and they mixed in with some nice reds. But the cool thing was, Mickey, when they were eating it, I mean, there was no misses. Before, we were missing them on top of it. They're blowing it, missing it. When they got in that major, they were crushing it. All three hooks in those top waters were in them most of the time. They were just slamming them, you know, just knocking them out of the water, you know. And several times where we'd hit a little pot of them, everybody hook up. But I was amazed how, you know, a lot of guys down south in Mansfield stuff use the little single hooks on their top waters, like the Mansfield, you know, Mansfield knocker and all that stuff, which is great. But, man, the amount of fish hookups are so much different than treble hooks. I'm going to tell you right now. We had one really good fisherman
in
the boat.
That because of the grass issue, you know, grassing up all the time. But, man, you miss a lot of good fish with those straight hooks.
And that's what happened. Now, I mean, I bet we missed three out of five.
Think about it. Plus, it changes the action of your bait.
Yep,
if straight hooks were better, all the lure companies would put straight hooks on their baits instead of treble hooks.
I agree.
On these top waters.
And the trouble is, though, you get guys that have a certain super bait they really like. When they come down here and instead of just switching hooks back to treble, they'll leave those single ones on. And sometime it costs them a really big fish. You know, it didn't happen Monday, but I've seen it before where I've been fishing dead in winter, and they'll put them on corkies. And man, they don't work on fat boys. I mean, they catch them, but nothing like a single hook. And it does change the presentation of your corky.
Sure,
It doesn't shake right.
Nope.
In other words, when you come up with your rod and you twitch it and make it quiver, it doesn't. It like kind of lays over the side. So, you know, top water is good, but I do not suggest them on any other baits. You know, but our grass did leave. We kind of got rid of the grass out of here. That's one good thing. And the upper Laguna Madre has really changed. So the first 10 miles now, we've got the birds sitting on the water, which means the shrimp have moved to the front. And my son's been fishing up here, and he's been doing well just fishing bait up here. Lots of numbers of fish and lots of redfish and stuff. The only thing that we're really off on is our flounder run, and simply just hadn't had very much cold weather really to get them stirred up. But,
yeah, and that's fixed to be closed here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
the first.
November 1st, yeah. And I think bird season closes Sunday, right?
Yes, and then we have the weekend of waterfowl and deer opening at the same time, rifle season for deer, whitetail. So.
And that's the first Saturday in the season. That would be the next weekend, though.
Yeah, next weekend.
Yeah, golly.
Boy, November's fast this year, man.
Oh, what happened to October, man? Yeah, I just went out and shot birds yesterday with Greg. Greg and I went up to Alice to fill up some feeders, and we didn't expect to see a lot of birds, and we had birds, so we got to shoot some birds.
Blaine got a new load, he said. I mean, He said it's like Argentina now to go with what
again.
He already had. He said a new wave moved in, and they are just, they're covered up.
Well, this is what's happened to our place. So we haven't had the cold weather, so they're just above us. You know, the birds are below us, and we're kind of in the band in the middle. We got birds, but last year at this time, we had three or four more fronts. We had millions of birds. So you watch what happens on Wednesday when the season's closed. We're going to have a giant wave of birds come in. You know it's going to happen. It might make a late season better, though. It might make her with the warmer winter, our late season might be better, Mickey.
I'm telling you.
I'm hoping anyway.
I'll be down there. I'm ready. Yeah. I like that late season hunting.
Yeah, I do too, man. Golly. It's cool, and you don't sweat and stuff, but it's all good. But our surf fishing. I've been surf fishing too. One of my buddies, Jeremy, hooked on a real nice tarpon Saturday on the rocks on a trout rod. He sends me a text. He goes, "Hey, man, what kind of Waterloo rod do I need for a tarpon?" And I says, "Well, the HP Slam Mag is probably the best, but you know, I think you need a bigger
probably
gun.
Probably not be quite big enough.
I gonna need a bigger gun on that one, but they do catch them on it. But the tarpon, they're running the surf around 20 to 40 pounds, which is just
that's
perfect.
There you go, Slam Mag's good for that.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. But good." Yeah, just looking at the radar a minute, I'm hoping we're going to get some of that rain you guys are going to get. We are just so dry. It's unbelievable, Mickey. God almighty.
I know. Y'all are in trouble, man.
Oh, my God. They're handcuffing all of our city council guys. But, you know, it's sad, man. So
what's bad is everything. Now, there's a glob kind of between Piedras Negras and San Antone. It'd be nice if it'd come straight down and get you. But everything
is going to go above us.
Just east of you, man. And coming through our end, we're going to get a break after this land we just got earlier went through, and then there's another glob behind it. So.
But you need rain too, don't you?
Oh, it's worst I ever seen it in the fall out at my place. I've never seen
it's
it that
crazy
dry.
Here. It's crazy here. Our deerlings too, you know. I'm afraid the quail are going to fall in the cracks. You'll be running the quail, and all of a sudden they disappear.
I'm telling you.
Fall in the cracks, man.
Leg breakers.
Oh, man. But it's definitely got, and everybody I talked to on the fishing end, too, it's the same way. We got fish, but we don't have the cold temperatures. Our water temperature is still too high. And so you take that with the high water, and the fish just aren't bunched up and where they are to be. And we're catching fish. Like with Roland, we caught some nice fish, but not like we normally catch at this time of year. Last year, I was talking to Chad Petter.
That'll come.
Yeah, Chad said the same thing. Last year was better, and I agree. But it's just the weather, Mickey, just the weather.
It is. Okay. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
All right, Mick.
All right. Bayou City Angler, that's Houston's fishing outfitter. They're easy to find, 8933 Katy Freeway. They stock a wide variety of the industry's best gear by the most trusted brands, wade fishing gear, fly fishing gear, fly tying components, along with rods, reels, lines, and lures. And great inventory of Waterloo rods like the Slam Mag and the HP Light that everybody likes so well. Shimano reels, Luz reels, Sims gear, Southerly, and Poncho. Everybody loves Poncho gear. And offshore tackle for the serious angler. Be sure to go by and visit their very nice tackle store. It's trusted by our community with great service. Easy to find, 8933 Katy Freeway, next to Carter's Country and Good Company Barbecue. Again, that's 8933 Katy Freeway. Here's their number, 832-831-3104. That's Bayou City Angler, Houston's fishing outfitter. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:18 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
I like that picture you sent me with that bunch of birds with that big rattlesnake in the middle of
them. How about that big old rattler sitting up on top of those dove birds?
How many does Blaine kill a year? Jesus.
I don't know. It's they kill at least on average one a day. I mean, he's in the snake capital down there. That sandy soil where he's at, I mean, it's Diamondback City.
Man, he needs to go into belt building business or something.
Did you see that 7-footer? 7-foot.
Yeah,
one
that
incher?
Was stupid.
That's a giant.
I never seen
the biggest one I've seen down there. I've seen some sixes, but I've never seen a 7.
Golly, that's sick. Man.
The head thing was bigger than my fist.
Yeah, that would be a bad bite right there.
How about that bite? I bet the fangs on that thing were an inch long.
No, that's scary stuff, and that's what's so bad about dove season. Man, you just got to watch it. We're so lucky that where I'm hunting birds right now, it's so dry, there's not much anything for the snake to hide in.
Well, you know, and Blaine keeps his areas, his dove fields, you know, where people, he puts people out to dove hunt around tanks and everything.
Keeps
them mowed and pristine, golf course-like, so.
Got to, yeah.
That way you can see one.
Oh, man, but I was thinking about Roland's trip on Monday, too, and Roland bought a good friend of his that was an All-American quarterback in college, Ron, and great stories about this guy, great fisherman, too. I really enjoyed fishing with Ron, but he was Roland played college ball. He's an animal, and his quarterback, Ron, he was a stud, man. He could pass the ball almost the length of the football field.
Right.
Pretty cool, man, to hear all these great football stories and stuff. But, man, it's just an American. I never had an All-American quarterback on my boat. Of course, I had Terry Bradshaw on my boat, a pro, but, you know, that's pretty cool to hear all the stories and stuff. But,
oh, yeah. Bradshaw's got them.
Yeah, Bradshaw had the stories.
Well, he played back when quarterbacks were as tough as linebackers are now.
I couldn't believe how beat up he was. When I saw him, I didn't realize, you know, he got out of they brought him to Snooker on Market 37. My wife picked him up at the airport, and he gets out of the car. You know, she's got a little Honda, and he's a lot bigger than I thought he was. God, he's like 6'3" or something. He's bigger than I thought
he was. Big old boy.
And boy, his hands, his fingers, and big knots on his arm. You can see they whacked him good, man. They would. Anyway, he said they get on the bottom, they start bending fingers. You know, that was a different game.
Yeah, remember back in the day of the head slaps and all that, you know. Get your
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Face mask, and they go to twisting their head and snapping fingers. And, hey, that was,
that was good.
You know, taking Elvin Bethay fishing. Great guy, man. And his hands were just, there's not one straight finger on either hand. I mean, they're just been so broke up. I can't believe he could fish, you know, hold a rod and reel and cast like that.
Oh, yeah. That's something, isn't it? Golly. Mm. Well, that was good. And I fished the beach this week. Our beach water is, you know, this is the strangest year I've ever seen where we never had a time of any dirty water on our beach. And it's got to be the currents, the El Nino, whatever we got.
Well, and you didn't have all that fresh water coming from the Mississippi and up this way you normally get.
That's what happened, too. So we've had crystalline water. It's just beautiful all up and down the beach. And it may have affected the fishing sometime because all the good fish, like the fish that they're catching are right at daylight. The first 30 minutes on top water, they'll catch some nice trout. Then you're just looking at them. You can see them, but you're just not going to get them unless you got live bait. And the flounder run. See, normally right now, the guys on the rocks are catching flounder. They're running down the beach. You just don't see that right now.
They haven't even started their exit yet.
No, that's what it is. I don't. And the guys that are professional flounder giggers are working at it. They're not running the sides of channels and stuff. They're still running flats and stuff. So it just tells me that the run's not happening. So.
Yeah, my way, the flounders they're all still on the flats. Wade fishermen are catching them.
Yes, that's
you know,
what's
around
going
bayou
on.
Mouths and drains and. And flats, and they ain't even started their migration.
Yeah, so I guess we'll get a lot of them saved during the shutdown in November. Is it all the way through December, or is it December 15th? Someone asked.
December 15th. Yeah.
December 15th.
Month and a half. Okay. Right in the prime time.
Well, whatever they got to do to get it better down here, Mickey, because you guys have a lot more flounder. Rockport, everybody has more flounder than we do. I guess it's just not the habitat here. We've surely taken a dip in the last few years. We used to catch, you know, back in the day, we catch 30, 40 flounder a day in the fall. You know, now you're lucky to catch one or two.
Right.
So things have changed up in there. I was getting back to the beach fishing. So the people running down the beach is so funny. Way south are catching fish in the surf, and the people in Port Mansfield are catching big trout. Stokoe, Blackwell, all the guys were fishing Bath and here were catching, you know, 23-inch, you know, 24, not really the big studs like we've been catching. They all went to Mansfield and they're catching 6 and 7 pounders. So I guess those fish are still staged up in the flats, really aren't making any kind of move to the winter patterns yet. They're still kind of in that summer pattern down south.
Right. Well,
so hopefully we'll get something going. All I need is a little cool front just to kick in the bait and get them in the the
you
know, that's what I want to see.
5 to 8 degree water temperature drop won't hurt things either.
Yeah.
You know.
And here it is, Halloween. Normally on Halloween, we have a really good cold front. We haven't had that. Doesn't look like we're going to have one on this one either.
Well, next week we're supposed to get one around Wednesday. It's a pretty good front. I mean, it's not what
I hope so.
You know, like some we've seen in the past. I remember a couple of Halloweens taking all the kids trick-or-treating. Me and my old brother-in-law, we just sat in the Suburban while they, we just followed them down the street. We turned them loose.
Oh, yeah.
They're out there with their little thin costumes on. We're freezing to death with a heater on in the Suburban. I'm going, man, these kids are nasty.
Well, there's candy involved. Yeah, there's a sack of candy involved, you know.
Just keep eating.
Yeah, when you're
keep
young,
that
you don't
sugar
get cold.
Rush going. You'll stay warm.
Yeah, you'll stay warm, buddy. Well, when you're young, you don't get cold anyway.
No,
maybe,
you
like
don't.
God almighty, you know, just absolutely.
Remember, we used to surf in the wintertime without a wetsuit.
I know it.
And it was got real cold, you just had sleeves on, maybe a short john or something, you know.
I'll never forget, I'm like 25, 26 years old, and it was February, and I'm way back in Yarborough, way back in the south end, it's really, really cold, and I kept seeing these giant trout up shallow, so I pulled the blue jeans off and started wading in my underwear up there in February catching those big trout, and I got back in the boat and my legs were purple. I caught some big trout. But what you'll do when you're young, you know, I would do that now.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely froze to death.
That put us
there,
in the hospital now.
Yeah.
Good
but
Lord.
Now you just get warmed up and go back out, man.
Right.
But, you know, in the shrimpers and stuff here, all the people that are running that say we have an abundance of shrimp. You know, so that's what's so strange is all these shrimp in our system and the fish are just not really on them. I don't think they're running in the channel. So once we have the cold weather, all the shrimp and stuff will pull out and the ICW stuff start moving out. And that's when those fish get on them. We haven't had that. We got birds sitting in the water everywhere, but they're still in the flats or not along the channel. So that just goes to show you that the migration of bait has not started. And it usually starts the second week of October at the latest. And so we're pretty far behind on the big bait run. I was listening to you, James, about the pogies. Do you have the pogie boats in Houston or is that just in Louisiana?
There's some in Texas, but the majority are Louisiana because they don't have a limit.
Okay.
I can catch as many as there is. Catch them all.
I wonder if that'll ever start here. You know? God.
I think Texas has like a 31.7 million pound allotment or something like that.
Mm. Mm.
Alabama does too, Mississippi, Florida, but a lot of the boats just go to Louisiana and do those waters.
Well, I'd never seen one until yesterday, and someone posted something on Facebook. Somebody sent me a picture of a big fish, and he said, "Look at this bogey boat." And they pulled that net and had tarpon and had all kind of stuff flopping out of it.
Everything.
Yeah, I was going, man, I thought they just really targeted the schools of pogue. I don't know how they work. It's kind of like a shrimp boat. They just drag whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really amazing. I never knew pogies were perfume. God. I learned a lot.
I don't think they are. I've checked on that. That, you know, I don't know.
Mostly cat food and dog food and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's mostly fish meal and fertilizer and, you know. I don't know about that.
But now in Louisiana, they sell pogies for bait, for trout, right?
Well, I'm sure they do, yeah. But the big thing is, you know, they have those big pogie plants where they process all that.
Man, that's very fascinating. Golly. Kind of like the whale and all the oils and stuff. That's what they're doing, just taking the oils out of it.
Man. Yes. Yeah. And they use a lot of it for, you know, I guess for omega-3, you know, fatty acid, you know, health stuff.
Yeah. And we have commercial mullet fishermen for the first time this year. I mean, professionals. That are targeting tons and tons of mullet. We've never had that here before.
You know, and I thought Texas closed that mullet catching thing. I thought they closed it.
Oh, my God.
It.
They're, I don't know what's going on, but you ought to see the truckloads of mullet that are coming out here right now. Unbelievable.
How are they catching them?
They wear golf cleats on their shoes, and they have
these big 7-foot nets. Them?
And they line up on the rocks, and these big black clouds will come through, and they throw in there, and there's several hundred of them in each deal. And then they got a big truck with a big tank, and they're putting them in these trucks, and I don't know if they're selling some of them alive and some of them dead or what's going on there, but they're there, you know, 24/7. And so they must be a big market for them up down the coast.
Well, there are. That's
and you know, you guys say you don't have the rafts and all that. I don't think we have them this year like what I normally see. But then I talked to Chad the other day, and we were talking about fish, and he said, "Hey, man, I was in a certain area in the cliff. It was just wall to wall mullet like the other, you know, like the old days." And he said, "But we didn't catch a lot of fish, but it was, you know, miles and miles of mullet, and that was money when our fish was rolling, and we got in some bait, you know, stuff, but we never saw the big runs of mullet, and I think it just wasn't cold enough." But wherever Chad was, somewhere in the back, wherever, he said he saw a bunch of mullet. So maybe they're still, you know, still in their base system, really had made the run down the shorelines. But
commercial boats that's what they do is catch mullet, and they eliminated that. Now you can still do the cast net thing, you know, with a fishing license, naturally. But,
you know, no mullet
what
boats.
People don't realize, this time of year, October through January, you cannot possess or harvest mullet over 12 inches long.
What?
Yes. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that either.
You get caught with a mullet over 12 inches in your boat, you're going to get in trouble.
So if you can't have a mullet over your 12 inches in your boat,
October through January in Texas, you cannot have a mullet over 12 inches long in your possession.
God, I just learned something. That's amazing. Think you know everything. You've got a mullet factor. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Most of these ones, they're catching. They're 6 inches, you know, 4 to 6 inches, a little finger mullet.
That's what you want. And,
You
know, I love mullet to put in my crab traps, but I have to be careful, make sure that I don't have anything 12 inches or longer, you know, to bait my crab traps with. That's why
the reason is.
And I buy those big old cardboard cases, you know, 55-pound case of mullet, and they're all legal, and I don't have
and
to worry
frozen?
About it.
You frozen? They frozen?
They cryogenically freeze them when they get them in there, and then I bring them home. They thaw out pretty quick, and they don't get mushy once they're cryogenically frozen like that.
Well, come back. What kind of frozen, Mickey? Come back on me.
Cryogenically, you know, it's that flash freezing like, you know, they do.
You're the only fishing guy in the world
else.
That can say that. You're the only fishing guy that can say that.
But,
what's good, Mickey?
I bag them up in gallon Ziplocs and then fill my freezer up with them. And then I've got mullet for when I want to go set some traps out and have a crab boil. Cryogenically.
Oh my God. We got this weatherman that's on one of the channels, and he uses the word problematic about 100 times.
Problematic. So
about the weather. So we call him Mr. Problematic. It's pretty good. But, you know, he really likes to throw that out there. He really likes that word, but it's funny. But that was way over my head there, Mickey.
Well, let me go over your head again and do a commercial break, and I'll come back at you. Think of one of them $1 words when I come back.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing in my vocabulary. All right, Mickey. All right.
I'll be right back. All right. Well, folks, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike, right there at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or even your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. If you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. When you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. There's no farm-raised sold at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught out of our Gulf and our bays. Excellent shrimp, and great prices, great availability. Whatever size or count you're looking for, they've always got them. And their Cajun Grill next door, all wild-caught Gulf seafood prepared and served there also. And check out their big-time food truck over in Santa Fe. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:37 here in the Bayou City. Real quick on the Pogies. Gun Show Joe sent me this. Pogies, which may refer to civet or musk, are not commonly used in perfumes today. I didn't think so. They did way back in the day, but civet, that's a secretion from the glands of civet cats, which isn't from a pogey, and has been used historically, but is now largely replaced by synthetic alternatives due to ethical concerns. And musk, that's obtained from the glands of a musk deer. It's also used in small quantities, but is increasingly replaced by synthetic musk, which both civet and musk are known for their intense, sensual, and long-lasting scents. But their use has declined in modern perfumery due to conservation efforts and ethical considerations. So that buries the, pogey oil thing. Anyway, all right, Cliff, we're back, man. So much for the pogey
pretty
oil.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just a fountain of information there,
Did
Mickey.
Did you take
like
your Omega 3 today? Yeah, I took it straight out of Louisiana. I just ate a whole pokey.
I just ate a whole pokey.
Wouldn't that be nasty? Jeez.
Oh, my God. I managed to watch that. What was that show, Deadliest Catch? And the new guy had to eat, a herring or something?
Oh, yeah, that's nasty.
Remember,
man,
they would make him eat one? That was nasty right there.
Well, I'd be throwing up anyway from on 30-foot swells out there. I don't know how those guys keep from puking all the time.
Oh, my God, that's nuts, man.
Yeah, I didn't watch it last night. I was watching the World Series, but I did record it. I'll watch it today.
Yeah, that's funny stuff right there. Yeah, I heard it was listening to your games and stuff, and my grandson's been playing soccer all week, and he finally got to the finals. So I've been going to soccer games almost every day. And so finally, Thursday, I guess it was Thursday, they played their last game and they won. So he got his trophy and he's out of there. But watching those young kids play soccer is pretty funny, you know. The ball will be, and they'd all be in a circle kicking each other, and the ball's about 10 feet away, but they're still kicking each other. It's still good stuff. Still kicking each other, man. It's good stuff.
Oh, Lord.
That's my favorite title I've ever had is grandfather. So I pull up now to the games, and I back my truck up there, and I got that umbrella stand. You know, I used to the beach. I pop in the tailgate, put that umbrella up. I'm the only one that's got shade. You can tell all them young guys, they ain't figured that shade deal out. But I tell you what, these afternoons have been cooking hot on the soccer field. You know, it's just super hot until that sun goes down. But it's so good to watch him play soccer. Man, that's good stuff.
Well,
I'm hoping he's 9 now, and I was telling you, shooting, he's 410. He's getting really good at fishing. So this is my year. I'm thinking next year he's going to pop a few wades with me. That's what I've been waiting on, Mickey. I can't wait to get him out there and get a corky on that rod. And
heck yeah.
He's big enough now where he can wade out where the fish are. So I hope I live long enough to see that. That's on my bucket list. I'd love to see that grandson of mine catch a big fish.
Yeah.
He's already caught him with his dad, but they're using bait. He's already caught like a 28 and a 29 on bait, but I said I want him to do it on lures, you know. But that's a neat deal having grandkids, let me tell you.
Yeah, it is.
And you have a grandson.
I have one. Yeah, I have a 6-year-old.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You lucky dog.
He's a ringtail tutor, too.
They keep you young, don't they? Man, a lot
wears me down. Jeez.
Jesus, that's good stuff.
Well, when he gets about 12, he'll probably put me in the ground. Trying to stay up with him.
I'm going to be pretty. That's what happens to both my boys. You know, there for a while, I could keep up. You know, then there's a time that you don't keep up. You know, you just sit back and watch. And both of them are such good athletes now. I fish them and stuff. I'm so lucky.
Yeah, he got ball glove and I've always had glove oil everywhere around my house, and we looked for it for hours the other day. And I cleaned out a shop this week, and I found 3 deals of glove oil. I said, well, here we go. I should have come out here and looked around. So now I'm going to condition his glove, park the truck it, and, you know, flatten it out real good, get it limber, and then put a baseball in it and tie it up with a shoestring or whatever and put it under the bed and let it, you know, build him a pocket in it.
Oh, that's good stuff. Is that what you do? You leave the ball in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to hate getting a new glove because then you had to break them in. You know, you had to do all that to get them right. I want them like a rag, man, where you can just snap them and pop them with your hand.
You've always been into that baseball. That's so good, Mickey.
It was one sport. It was part of my life. You know, I played it all my life.
That's
and
awesome.
I loved the game, and it kept me out of trouble. That and fishing.
Man, I'm getting rain right now. Mick, I hear it raining. That's
oh
awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
It's dumping
it's
right
the
now.
End of the world.
The end of the world
radar.
In Corpus Christi. Yeah, I'm actually getting a shower here. Everybody's going to be very excited here.
Man, everybody's going to be dancing in the streets now in your way, brother.
Yeah, our water situation is just absolutely nuts here. So this, at least everybody will get some water today.
I think I could, and here's the deal with these desalinization plants. We don't really know if there's going to be any environmental impact or fallout from it. I mean, they already have that one that they're dumping back there in the Cayo or somewhere, aren't they?
Yeah, and Chad and I were talking about that. Things, you know, that may be affecting us now, and we don't know. Because something's not right.
Well, you ought to be up here in my world. There's everything coming from all directions commercially up here. And you know, and McBride, I know he's been whining a lot, all the people in Mansfield, about putting a port in there, but that's reality this day and age. I mean, you cannot believe the ship traffic up here. I mean, it's kind of like your barge traffic.
Yeah.
Y'all have what you think is a lot now. That's y'all all day long. Y'all get enough barges. That's a 1 hour deal for 30 minutes up here. It's just
you
are
destroyed a lot of our areas.
Yeah. Look at there, it's kind of
man dumping,
swirling back on you. Okay,
And the affected our fishing in the land cut. It just changed that 23 miles of fishing area totally. You know, the fish don't stage in the land cut along the edge now and spawn like they used to because they're getting blown out by barges. And so it puts the dump of fish into Bath and into Alazon a lot quicker than it did before. Before it was like a 6-week trickle. And so you had 6 weeks of really good fishing coming down the shorelines going into Bath. And now you got about 2 weeks and they've already dumped.
Right.
You know, they don't stop. They just keep on moving. And so it changed everything.
It'll change. They'll find other ways and places to spawn, you know, like.
Well, see, then Packery, so everybody's saying now that those redfish used to go out of Port Aransas, and that's why everybody's stacked up in Packery now, because the redfish now have learned they can go out through Packery. And every year
they've
got
another escape route. Exactly.
Yeah. And so now we're seeing, like, yesterday there's 15 boats in Packery catching redfish. You know, and last year there was a lot less. So every year it seems like there's more and more reds coming through Packery.
Well, and that's what they do this time of year. These passes, that's where they spawn. The males fertilize them, then the eggs get buoyant. They ride the incoming tide, and they go up into your estuaries, and that's where they hatch and raise.
In the big female redfish, they leave, and most of them go in the Gulf. In the wintertime, right?
Well, that's supposed to do. You know, wild reds. I don't know whether these hatchery reds do that or not.
That's what I'm concerned about, because we have a lot of big reds in the winter.
I think they don't know to migrate because they weren't born in the wild like that under that situation. I don't know.
Right.
I may be totally off base, but I'm just going by what I see up my way.
Mm-hmm.
And
all
the reds that were stocked there, I mean, they just live there. The redfish up my way never leave, you know, unless a Harvey event hits and it just flushes everything south. But, I mean, it's man, we catch them year-round, January, February, May, June. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. They're always in the same places. They're up in our marshes. I'm talking bull reds now. I'm talking 40, 45-inch stuff.
Yeah, good Lord.
I mean, predators.
Yeah, they're eating a lot of your stuff. And that's what we've noticed the last 7 or 8 years. We've got big bull reds in Bath and Bay in the middle of January and February. We used to never catch one, Mickey, never, on Corky's. And now you're going to catch a bull red almost every day, you know, while you're trying to catch a trout. Up in the shallow water in the mud, it's, you know, 38 degrees, and you pop a big bull red. Like, what? Shouldn't even be here. But anyway.
Yeah, my son caught one up in the pocket in the top of Trinity Bay one year that was 50 inches long on a mirror lure in January. Cold, I mean, in the 30s, mm-hmm. high 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I catch them like that in Bath in the middle of the dead of winter. I'm like, what? Uh-huh. You know, so the redfish population is wonderful. You know, CCA has really brought those fish back.
I don't know whether they've helped things or hurt things. Well, TPNW, I give TPNW credit for that. I mean, it's their deal. They own the hatchery and everything. CCA donates to it and helps it. But I don't know. Beware of what you wish for. I just know what I witness in my bay every time I go fishing. Bull reds are eating pencil trout. That's what they do. Because we don't have mullet anymore. Yeah. We just don't have the... Our mullet populations are a tenth of what they used to be.
Yeah. And I noticed that you're talking about those bull reds eating the trout. That's the first time I've really witnessed that. I was down in Mansfield last year fishing with Jay, and we're fishing a flat, and we're catching trout with some reds. And several times, Jay and I would have a small trout on, you know, 14, 15 inches, and a big bull red just charge up and try to eat off your lure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just nuts. You know, and don't see that much here, but Mansfield, for some reason, it was happening. I'm sure it's going to happen more here.
Well, you know how you find bull reds here now. If they're not slicking and showing signs of it or coming up on top and schooling, you just find your pencil trout. Wherever all your little bitty trout are, that's where your bull reds are going to be. You'll always catch them in the middle of those little trout.
I'll be. Man.
They're feeding on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And, you know, something else, I always like that when the day's off, I go back and scan, you know, my books and stuff about times of year and what was going on. You know what is so unusual is where are all the working birds that we used to have in October?
Right.
You know, we hardly ever see schools of working birds in Bath and in Yarborough like we used to, and we still got the shrimp.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the shrimp are still there. Why aren't the fish
populations aren't as vast as they used to be?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's got to be. You know, because I was thinking about Doug Bird and I. Yeah, Doug Bird and I pulling the front of the bay and look, and it would just be dozens of schools of birds, and you try to find the ones that are really shallow. That's your big trout. But now you pull in the bay, you pick up a pair of binoculars and can't see a school of birds. You know, so that has definitely changed. And the shrimp are just thick as they can be. So it's not the like of shrimp.
Why do you think there's so many shrimp? Because there's no more shrimpers.
Exactly. No more bycatch. And, you know, and that's what I thought would really affect the flounder. Because you remember in the shrimp boats, they pull up the net and all those little baby flounder.
Full of them little baby flounder, yeah, that would migrate back in after their spawns.
So evidently that didn't work.
No, that didn't work.
I think we got to be habitat on flounder. It has to be.
It's habitat and environmental, all that. It's, you know, we see it more up here. I mean, y'all still have a great habitat down there. I mean, you mm-hmm. still have all your grass and up here when you lose 80-90% of your oyster
population. That was a devastating deal.
I mean, that was our main habitat. That's what our trout do. And
that was from freshwater.
So, too much salt water during that drought period from like 2011 to 2014. The oyster drills were eating them up, you know. And then here came the floods, 10 years of that, and that finished off what the oyster drills didn't finish. It's a delicate balance. People don't realize how delicate, you know, environmental changes and, you know, commerce. I mean, all of it, the silt, the dredging, hurricanes, you know, Hurricane Ike was the beginning of it when it brought all that silt with those 23-foot tide surge, you know, that covered a lot of our reefs. And a lot of them are dead and still dead. And what hurt me the most up in my backyard is don't get me wrong, we had great oyster beds up there too, but mostly our shell was a rangia clams, and all that fresh water killed them, especially Harvey. we're trying to come back from that.
Are the are they replanting the oysters back on the reefs to try to get them
they
to come
are,
back?
They are, man. They're Band-Aids, man. They go, well, we got
new
substrate we put here. I mean, that's just a pinprick. That's, I mean, it would take billions of dollars and just billions of tons of aggregate to get us back to where we were.
So Mother Nature is going to have to do it if it's going to happen.
That's exactly right. It's going to have to be a perfect balance for a long period of time to get it back where it was.
Man. You know, and then so our big change here.
Y'all
Patrick,
got problems down there?
Yes, sir.
You know, got a port going into Mansfield?
Yeah.
Hey, our ship channel has millions of ports up and down it.
And that's what's so different about Corpus Christi, you know, is its growth. You know, I'm 69 years old. It was 311,000 when I was born. It's 330,000 now. That thing is, if it had been like Houston, we've had, just think if Corpus Christi had 2 million people living in it.
Yeah.
Just think what our base system would be like.
Well, and Houston Metroplex, you know, all in this area between Houston and Galveston and surrounding communities, I mean, it's 4 or 5 million people. Kaboom, right here.
Yes, sir. And, you know, like you said, just a lot of us just, you know, building stuff and taking stuff down and replacing it with buildings and rocks and stuff is taking out all your habitat. And the only thing that saves us, Mickey, we're surrounded by King and Kennedy Ranch. You think about that. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God not sold that and developed it.
Yes. Just think if they developed it and you went into Bath and it was condos and stuff all on there, it wouldn't be the same at all, you know. And the good thing is the windmills are coming down. Thank God they're taking those windmills
get
down.
Them nasty all those things down.
Oh my God, that's just, they're just not making no money, and they're just, you know, it's just trashing stuff.
That was all a scam. It was a money making operation for a lot of people, and it does very little.
Yeah, they said the money that they made was the government gave them, pretty much. You know, supplemented them. Yeah, it's pretty much the made them. But, boy, it sure has made our environment so ugly down south. You know, it's so ugly.
There's nothing more disgusting than come down there and get across the prairie over there on those beautiful ranches, and there's windmills everywhere. I'm going, that looks
and
so
oil.
Stupid.
Yeah, oil just, and grease is coming down the shaft. You know, every one of them they leak like thousands of pounds of oil and
they
stuff.
They kill
everywhere.
Birds.
Like,
I mean, you know, they're just not worth worth the effort.
Thank God the King Ranch sued them and they're taking them down. You know, now Colorado doesn't want them to bury the blades. You know, that's just, they can't get rid of the blades.
Well,
so where
there's
they're gonna
bury them. There's no recycling. That's like all these batteries and everything. They don't even have a recycling system for all this junk. So we'll just bury it in the earth and
see what happens.
Mother Earth, she'll swallow it up. Oh, boy.
I know it, man. Oh, that's crazy,
we could go on for days about this.
I know,
well,
but at least they're
going to...
It was
a good soapbox ranting Saturday about
key
issues that are not in our favor in the fishing community.
I know. I learned all kind of new words, and I learned about pogie boats.
That's
impressive, Mickey.
That's it, man. All right, brother. Well, hey, Cliff, somebody wants to come down and hang out with you and wet a line and catch some nice fish. How do they get a hold of you, brother?
All right, Mickey, area code 361-949-0707. And you need to get down here, Mickey. Eventually, we're going to have a few fronts. It's going to get
it's
good.
It's going to happen.
Come on down.
It's gonna, I'm going to make it happen, Captain.
Good, buddy. All right, Mickey. Thank you, man.
Hey, Cliff. See you, buddy. All right, later.
All right, man.
All right, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.